Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. The state announced 29 new Alaska resident COVID-19 cases in 11 communities yesterday, including two apiece in Fairbanks and Delta Junction and one in North Pole. The new Delta cases are that community's second and third overall. Alaska's total resident case count is now 883. The Department of Health and Social Services also announced four new non-resident cases yesterday, including two in the Southeast Fairbanks census area in the mining industry, bringing the state's total non-resident case tally to 179. No new hospitalizations or deaths were reported yesterday. That followed the state's report Friday of two additional deaths, both of which were Alaskans living outside at long-term care facilities. 14 Alaskans have now been lost to the virus. Recovered cases currently total 521, and over 108,000 tests have been conducted. Alaska's chief medical officer, Dr. Ann Zink, says the state is seeing a sharp rise in cases in youth or younger adults, some of which are linked to bars and concerts, high-risk environments for COVID transmission. A federal civil rights suit filed by the Fairbanks Four can move forward. The four Native men who spent decades in prison for a murder evidence has since showed others were likely responsible for are suing the city of Fairbanks for racially biased malicious prosecution. The city asked the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to reconsider a previous ruling that said the four are not barred by a past Supreme Court precedent that requires judicially proven innocence to file such suits. The Fairbanks Four convictions were instead vacated under a 2015 settlement with the state. An attorney, Mike Kramer, who represents two of the four, says Friday's ruling creates new legal ground.
It's binding precedent that the law announced in the three-judge decision is binding law, which certainly helps the Fairbanks Four, but also any future victims who in the civil rights case.
The city can appeal the ruling up to the U.S. Supreme Court to try to halt the case from going to trial. KUAC has reached out to a city attorney and will share the city's perspective on the ruling in a future story. Citing current outcry over racially biased policing across the country, Kramer says he's optimistic about the potential for settlement.
We hope that the city, particularly in light of recent events, reviews its posture. Does it really want to continue to defend what its all-white police force did back in the 90s, against these Alaska Native defendants.
Three of the Fairbanks Four, George Fries, Marvin Roberts, and Eugene Vent, are Alaska Native, and Kevin Pease is American Indian. The men were convicted of the 1997 beating death of Fairbanks teen John Hartman, but another Fairbanks man, William Holmes, who is already imprisoned for other killings, testified in 2015 that he and a group of friends, not the Fairbanks Four, randomly targeted Hartman. The Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly has passed a 10-year capital improvement plan for parks, schools, ice rinks, pools, and other infrastructure. The plan provides a roadmap for fixing aging facilities and building new ones. KUAC's Robin reports.
A list of more than 60 building and maintenance projects to be paid for over the next 10 years is called the Capital Improvement Plan, or KIP. At last week's meeting, Assemblymember Aaron Legiski complimented Borough Mayor Bryce Ward on the process, which nails down construction projects to a timeline with funding attached to each year.
I'm very grateful to the mayor for basically being the force behind the KIP. He thought of it, or someone on his staff, if they're secretly not taking credit. But the administration came up with the KIP, brought it forward, and before that, it was like the Wild West for planning.
There has been a lot of public comment on the KIP, and citizens have weighed in on a new animal shelter, library updates, a new bus barn, fixing school roofs, a new aquatic center, and repairing the wooden sternwheeler, SS Nenana. At the last meeting, some citizens took one more chance. Here are Eric Largen, Jerry Sadler, Jenny Creamer Dalton, and Arlene Slocum.
I just want to talk about Carlson Center ice rink replacement. I believe that the need is great for many groups in our community.
Our skate park, built in 1997, is not adequate for the size of our population. Even the pavement that it was built on is not the right surface.
Fund the repairs and restoration of the SS Nenana and the diorama within.
It's no accident that the SS Nenana sits at the center of Pioneer Park as a testimony to a changing world.
The plan, which is posted online, is a long-term spending map for the backlog of maintenance projects, as well as a wish list for new construction. The main pot of money that will pay for these capital improvements is the FMR, the Facilities Maintenance Reserve, which will contribute about $11 million each year. The KIPP process has citizens' contributions built in.
It's probably one of the most public processes we've completed.
That was Assemblymember Matt Cooper.
And looking forward in a couple years to the next KIPP and what we've learned from this process.
The KIPP will get reviewed again in 2 years. But for fiscal 2021, which starts on Wednesday, the mayor says nothing will happen until the assembly votes again to approve money.
This would, in fact, be our plan. We are working on the ordinance, which would be the appropriations ordinance for the capital projects for this upcoming year.
The administration will bring a funding ordinance before the assembly in coming weeks. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
It's happened again. U.S. jet fighters intercepted two Russian reconnaissance planes flying near Alaska over the weekend. The North American Aerospace Defense Command, or NORAD, says Saturday's encounter near the Aleutian Islands was the 10th time this month that U.S. aircraft have scrambled to monitor Russian planes flying off Alaska in what's known as the Alaska Air Defense Identification Zone. A NORAD news release says the two U.S. F-22s accompanied by AWACS aircraft and tankers intercepted the Russian planes and monitored them throughout an 8-hour flight. NORAD says two Russian Tu-142s approached to within 65 miles of the islands but did not enter U.S. airspace. The Tu-142s are used for maritime surveillance and anti-submarine warfare. Three-time Yukon Quest champion Brent Sass is playing it safe at his remote kennel near Eureka this summer. Sass, who won the Quest in 2015, 2019, and 2020, says his remote location northwest of Fairbanks is providing a haven from the pandemic.
I'm feeling very fortunate this time. This life is not easy, but it definitely is paying off right now, being able to really feel like I can stay healthy and kind of just stay out of the chaos that's happening down there, you know, and being able to deal with this COVID the best I possibly can.
Sass says dog mushing expeditions he usually guides in April were all canceled because of the pandemic this year, a hit to his finances, but that he's finding some paying work locally.
Small odd jobs with locals and doing some gold mining this summer. So I'm sticking close to home, staying out of town as much as possible and kind of just focusing on my dogs and my homestead.
Sass reports that his dogs are doing well, including some recent additions.
I set our first litter of puppies for the summer right now, and the dogs are all enjoying lots of free time running around, and we're just gearing up for another season, staying as positive as we can in these crazy times.
Sass says he plans to run the recently announced shortened 2021 Yukon Quest. Citing pandemic-caused international border complications, Quest organizers recently announced plans to hold one race in the Yukon Territory and another one in Alaska. Routes and distances are still being worked out, but Sass sees opportunity to grow the race, which has struggled to attract teams in recent years.
We have a great opportunity to invite a lot of potential people that wouldn't run the Quest that could run this year. You know, only in the U.S., no border, and it being obviously not going to be 1,000 miles. We're looking at a 300- to 500-mile race, which I think could attract a lot more mushers. And I think that is the key to the success of the Yukon Quest, is bringing more mushers into the fold.
Sass says the shortened Quest could also provide a better warm-up race for the Iditarod, which Sass also plans to compete in again next year. I'm Dan Bross.